From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Walk into almost any bookstore, and you can probably find something for everyone or no one. From books titled Eat, Pray, Love to toasters and small kitchen appliances. Studies may show that people aren't reading as much as they used to, but that doesn't stop publishers from turning out thousands and thousands of books every year. One notable exception to that rule is 12, which publishes one book a month. As NPR's Lynn Neary reports, in its first year, 12 has had a remarkable success in a business where there are more misses than hits.
So how many books are published in this country every year? Well, it just so happens there's a company that tracks such numbers, R.R. Bowker's. And according to Al Greco, a professor at Fordham University's School of Business, Bowker's most recent numbers are pretty amazing. 291,000 new books published in 2006.
So that comes out to about 33 books published every hour of the day, every day of the week, all 365 days, including Christmas and New Year's.
Staggering, says Greco. And while some of those are books only a very few will ever read, technical manuals and the like, most of them are books you'll find on your local bookstore shelf. Publishers churn them out, says Greco, even though the majority are doomed to life in the remainder bin.
7 out of every 10 adult trade hardcover books fail financially in the hardcover version. 2 break even. 1 becomes a hit. And it's a hit-driven business.
Nobody has any idea what's going to hit. I think that publishing is basically a corporate form of legalized gambling.
Jonathan Karp is publisher and editor-in-chief of 12. A friendly and approachable man, he's so young-looking, it's hard to believe he had already ushered a string of books onto bestseller lists before starting 12. Karp began his career in 1989 as an editorial assistant at Random House and worked his way up to editor-in-chief. Among the hit books he worked on were Seabiscuit and The Orchid Thief. Publishing, says Karp, is a business that runs best on passion.
You have to start with the impulsive, ecstatic reaction you have to a book. And if you're not excited at the outset by the prospect of publishing the book, you should not publish the book.
But the subjective nature of reading is what makes it so hard to predict what will succeed and what will fail. Some authors become brand names, their books destined to hit the bestseller lists. Some famous people draw huge advances that never really pay off. And every season, some unknown author seems to come out of nowhere to make it big. So the industry tends to publish a lot of books and then waits to see which ones will catch on. When Karp had the chance to start his own imprint within the publishing giant Hachette Book Group, he decided to buck that trend.
I think that it's possible to love 12 books a year without being promiscuous. I think you can be serially monogamous to 12 books a year. And what I have experienced in my career, I was at Random House for about 16 years, and I worked with about 200 authors in that time. And I think that all 200 authors thought they had written a bestseller that was worthy of many readers. And unfortunately, we weren't always able to put those books across. So what I really wanted to do with this imprint was to make a promise to every writer we published that we would do everything in our power to make his or her book a bestseller.
Despite his success at Random House, when Karp first announced his plan, there were plenty of non-believers in the publishing world, says Publishers Weekly editor-in-chief Sarah Nelson.
It seemed more gimmick than anything else. I mean, you know, how would you decide? You know, would authors be fighting over who got to be the August book versus who got to be the February book? Or would they have them be seasonally appropriate and so on? I mean, it just lent itself to a little bit of snideness.
With a list that combined some very well-known authors with complete unknowns, Karp quickly proved naysayers wrong. 12's first book, Boomsday, by Christopher Buckley, hit the New York Times bestseller list, as did the second book, Christopher Hitchens' God Is Not Great, which also was nominated for a National Book Award. Best-selling books on subjects ranging from microtrends to the pursuit of happiness soon followed. And coming soon, The Fortune Cookie Chronicles, a book about Chinese food.
But I just briefly wanted to thank you guys, and I'm going to lift the foil off the food, and everybody should please help themselves.
To publicize the book, 12 hosted a lunch of Chinese takeout for members of the media. As publicist Carrie Goldstein served up the food, author Jennifer 8 Lee said she stumbled into the arms of 12 and Jonathan Karp.
I mean, I'll be honest, like, I never heard of John Carp before. My agent was like, John Carp is interested in your book. And I was like, so? And I didn't get what it meant to do 12, because at that point I'd never written a book, right? So it's only through basically going through the process and seeing my friends who have also had, you know, books come out around the same time before or after me by a year or two that I realized, wow, I'm really, really lucky.
Lucky, because by limiting the number of books they publish, 12 can give authors the kind of attention that may be lacking in other houses. Carp edits each book, and in the case of a first-time author like Lee, helped to refine her initial idea into a final product. And each book gets a month-long launch. Goldstein says in other publishing companies, he might be working on 6 books at a time. At 12, he can focus on one book.
I think what we can do with 12, or what we're trying to do at 12, is to continue pushing when another publisher might walk away, and to find the right venues to make things happen.
In the case of Christopher Hitchens' book, God Is Not Great, the right venue was not necessarily the obvious one. Goldstein and Carp decided to take the polemical Hitchens to the South to defend his anti-religious screed in debates with people of faith.
We did an event in Miami with Books and Books, hosted at Temple Judea. We had 1,000 people at this event. Christopher was in debate with an Orthodox Jew, a Buddhist nun, a professor of Islamic thought, and a born-again Christian.
And it worked.
Absolutely worked.
The combination of attention to detail on both the editorial side and in publicity has proven to be a winning formula for 12. 6 of its first 9 books have hit the New York Times bestseller list.
It's really sort of extraordinary.
Sarah Nelson says there's no other way to characterize 12's success so far. John Carp, she says, is extremely good at nonfiction, which makes up most of the list, and she says he has a keen sense of what people care about in the culture. Whether his first year's success can be duplicated is hard to predict.
I mean, I think his taste is genuine and his ear and his eye are pretty interesting and amazing. But, I mean, nobody's perfect. I mean, nobody has a perfect batting average. So, you know, if next year he only has one book that's on the bestseller list, you know, that's still pretty good.
12's successful first year sets it up well for the future. With books like God Is Not Great and Boomsday going into paperback, the imprint will begin the important step of creating a stable of old books that can support new ones. But Carp doesn't spend a lot of time worrying about the future.
I can promise you, we will have big flops just like every other publisher has. We'll have books that critics hate. We'll also have books that critics love and that are big bestsellers. And that's sort of the nature of the game. It really is a complete gamble. Every book is, and all you have to go on is your instinct. You know, and my feeling is if you're going to gamble, you might as well gamble big.
Carp says the less is more approach is not necessarily a model for all publishing companies. There's no right or wrong way to run the business, he says. Some companies do well throwing lots of balls in the air. But for him, one book at a time, every month of the year, is proving to be a pretty magical formula. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.